I'm having Persian food again. And if you follow me, you should know this dish. It's a sultani. And the restaurant is in Encino, California, called Shirazi, which is named after Shiraz, the capital of Fars or Pars province in Iran. The city is mentioned on clay tablets going back 4,000 years and is known as the city of poets, literature, wine, and flowers. It's also considered by many Iranians to be the city of gardens, which is an important aspect of Mesopotamian culture and stretches back into antiquity. In Tablet 9 of the standard version of the Epic of Gilgamesh, Gilgamesh travels to the Garden of the Gods, the home of the mortals. Poetry also goes back to at least Sumerian times. The Descent of Inanna describes the ancient Sumerian goddess Inanna's descent into the underworld, from where she performs the world's first documented striptease, as she removes her various jewels and robes in her descent through the 7 successive gates, leading even deeper into the underworld, until at last she stood naked in the land of no return. Goddess Inanna's descent to the underworld. From the great heaven, she set her mind on the great below. From the great heaven, the goddess set her mind on the great below. From the great heaven, Inanna set her mind on the great below. My mistress abandoned heaven, abandoned earth, and descended to the underworld. Inanna abandoned heaven, abandoned earth, and descended to the underworld. She took the 7 divine powers. She collected the divine powers and grasped them in her hand. With the good divine powers, she went on her way. She hung small lapis lazuli beads around her neck. She placed twin egg-shaped beads on her breast. She placed mascara on her eyes. She placed a golden ring on her finger. On this day, I will descend to the underworld. When I have arrived in the underworld, make a lament for me on the ruined mounds. Beat the drum for me in the sanctuary. That was good. Now we can start the episode. That poem about Inanna's descent was highly symbolic, with parallels that can be found in other ancient stories, which become apparent once the mysteries behind them are understood. This includes Jewish mysticism, much of which has its roots in ancient Babylon, a Mesopotamian civilization that came after the Sumerians, where the goddess Inanna became the goddess Ishtar, but is essentially the same. Another name she went by in the Levant was Astarte, who was worshipped in Canaan, as well as Egypt, and by the Hittites, an Indo-European people, one of the first to branch off from the original ancient Aryans of the Caucasus or Anatolian region. These Aryans would have had genetic affinities to the Persians or Aryan nobility of ancient Iran, arriving in several waves, especially around 3,000 to 4,000 years ago, also penetrating into northern India, introducing horses, Sanskrit, and the caste system to the subcontinent. In India, we can find symbolic parallels to the seven gates of Inanna, with the seven chakras, or energetic wheels in the human body, which are activated through arousal and transmutation of carnal energy, or the life force generated through sacred sex, or tantra. In the Bible, it is not directly alluded to, but comparisons have been made in the story of the Dance of the Seven Veils, a name which comes to us from Oscar Wilde's play adapted from the biblical story of Salome's dance performed for Herod II, son of Herod the Great, where, according to Matthew 14, John was imprisoned by Herod, offering his niece a reward for her choice of performing a dance for his guests on his birthday, and she asked for John the Baptist's head on a platter. Herod reluctantly agreed to her request, and this scene has been reenacted in several movies and plays. While the Bible doesn't name the dance or mention anything specifically about seven veils, Salome's dance was portrayed as an incarnation of female lust by early French writers and described as a veiled belly dance. The Hebrew word chul, C-H-U-W-L, meaning to twist or whirl in a circular or spiral manner, is used in several biblical verses and refers to a type of erotic dance done during biblical ceremonies and performed by women. Most notably in Canaan before 900 BC, a small piece of cloth worn around the hips would have been all that was worn. She has taken the seven divine powers. She has collected the divine powers and grasped them in her hand. She has come on her way with all the good divine powers. And when Inanna entered the first gate, headgear was removed from her head. When she entered the second gate, the small lapis lazuli beads were removed from her neck. When she entered the third gate, the twin egg-shaped beads were removed from her breast. When she entered the fourth gate, the pectoral veil was removed from her breast. When she entered the fifth gate, the golden ring was removed from her finger. When she entered the sixth gate, the lapis lazuli were removed from her hand. When she entered the seventh gate, the robe, the garment of ladyship, was removed from her body. Naked at the seventh gate, the number seven was not chosen by random. Seven is usually considered a lucky number. There are seven distinct notes in the musical scale. There are 7 days of the week, named after the five visible planets and the sun and the moon, making seven. There are 7 candles of the Jewish menorah that burned in the tabernacle and 7 days of creation in Genesis. The 7 deadly sins are well known in Christian tradition, and in ancient Egypt there were 7 paths to heaven and seven heavenly cows. In the Rig Veda, there are seven parts of the world, seven seasons, and seven heavenly fortresses. In Judaism and Islam, there are seven heavens, and Muslims walk around the Kaaba seven times during their pilgrimage to Mecca. The number of daughters of Atlas in the Pleiades are also called the Seven Sisters. There were said to be seven main islands of Atlantis. The number seven was also central to the cult of Mithra and the fundamental number of the Rosicrucians, which brings us to the G in Freemasonry, which is the seventh letter of the alphabet. In an alchemical context, the secret number seven starts with its makeup, and it's a combination of the number three for the triangle, which represents the masculine, and four for feminine principle, also symbolized by a square. In the study of alchemy, perfection is symbolized by the conjunction of a square and a triangle, and so seven is the number of perfection. To the Greek mathematician Pythagoras and the Pythagoreans, the number seven is, quote, the essence or first principle of things, which they apply to the secrets of the universe and creation. Plato said that from the number seven was generated the soul of the world, the anima mundi, which according to the Kabbalah can be understood as the pure potential of divine light and wisdom. Of course, Lucifer translates to light bearer or light bringer, and this is the traditional name of the goddess and the planet Venus, the morning star, who in ancient Mesopotamia was Inanna, goddess of divine wisdom, love, beauty, and sex. In ancient mystery school religion, wisdom was associated with gnosis, an internal, intuitive, creative knowledge that is accessed through sacred sex and the transmutation of carnal energy into spiritual energy or enlightenment. While the word Lucifer and the goddess cults are demonized by later organized religions, the pagan rituals associated with them were kept alive and portrayed as veiled symbolism and practiced covertly by secret societies until today. It is generally accepted among scholars that a form of sacred marriage ritual was staged between the ancient Sumerian kings and the high priestesses of Inanna, later called Ishtar or Astarte. The king would perform sacred alchemical union with the priestess in what is today termed as sex magic, and symbolically to represent the union of Dumuzi or Tammuz with Inanna or Ishtar. The cult of Tammuz centered around two yearly festivals, one of which celebrated his marriage to the goddess Inanna, and at these times, the ancient texts relate that in the marriage rite, the king actually took on the identity of the god, and thus, by consummating the marriage with an esoterically trained priestess incarnating the goddess, magically fertilized and impregnated all of nature for the year. As a fertility god, he represented the insemination of the mother goddess and appears in the Hellenic pantheon as Adonis, a beautiful youth who earned the love of Aphrodite. The concept of death and resurrection are tied to the myth of Tammuz, which foreshadowed the central role of resurrection in the religion of Christianity. Both Jesus and Tammuz were born or resurrected around the winter solstice, which in an astro-theological context is tied to the sun's yearly cycle repeating, going from the shortest day and longest night to where the days start to get longer again. This symbolic resurrection is associated with the pre-Christian alchemical notion of being reborn, or born again, spiritually speaking, and allegedly building a light or astral body which is synonymous with the soul. This is why Christmas was outlawed in both America and England for several decades by Christians themselves. Most Americans today are unaware that Christmas was banned, for example, in Boston from 1659 to 1681. All Christmas activities, including dancing, singing, carols, cheerful celebration, and especially drinking, were banned. And while it's not spoken about in articles on the subject, this included carnal activity, which goes back to the ancient times and the union of the god and goddess. This is also why the goat is traditionally a satanic symbol, as Capricornus, which is Latin for horned goat, represented on the zodiac in the form of a sea goat, and in the early Bronze Age or Aryan Age, the winter solstice occurred in this constellation, but due to the precession of the equinoxes, December solstice now takes place in the constellation of Sagittarius. Of course, Satanism and Luciferianism or paganism, whatever term you want to use, involves sex magic as a central theme. And this timing for these rituals are linked with the various holidays we derive from astrology or astrotheology. So these ancient sex rituals were not just for the king and nobility, with the prestigious role played in antiquity by a temple priestess who also was a sacred religious prostitute, trained in the sacred alchemical techniques of transmutation of sex energy, which in Asia is known as chi or ki. In India, it's called prana. Vril is another term sometimes used. Harnessing, redirecting, and transmuting this divine energy is at the heart of Inanna's quest of seven divine powers, seven gates, and the dance of the seven veils. The amazing dancing this episode is by the talented Kira Lebedeva. There'll be a link to her channel in the description. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon as well as through various other major book outlets. Please hit the like button and subscribe for future updates. As always, I look forward to reading your comments, so please leave me your thoughts below. Please have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.